This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. The strict voter ID law that Texas passed 6 years ago took another body blow today. A federal judge ruled for a second time that the law was intentionally crafted to discriminate against minorities. The lawsuit that led to the decision was Vesey versus Abbott. That's Fort Worth Democrat Mark Vesey before he became a congressman, and then Attorney General Greg Abbott before he became governor. Dallas City officials are still trying to get to the bottom of who triggered the emergency siren system over the weekend. As KERA's Eric Austin reports, city council members got an update today.
The Dallas Police Department is leading the investigation. It's working with the FBI and other agencies. That's according to City Manager T.C. Broadnax.
They're gathering complete information on our own system and looking at how that interfaces with other systems in the city to validate what we think happened in totality.
All of the emergency sirens in the city, 156 of them, blared across Dallas early Saturday morning. Broadnax told the Dallas Morning News that it was not the result of a computer issue. Instead, he says it was done by transmitting tones by radio or telephone signal. Broadnax told city council members he's also ordered a review of other systems to see if anything else in the city is vulnerable.
Systems such as our water system, our radio network, our 911 and 311 centers, as well as police and fire dispatch, flood warning systems, financial systems, to ensure that, again, we are prepared for any types of outward malicious attacks.
Broadnax said he'll provide the council an update during its meeting on Wednesday. Eric Austin, KERA News.
A legislative committee is expected to send a bill to the full Texas House this week that aims to bolster the troubled Dallas police and fire pension system. The committee's chair is Dan Flynn, a Republican from the town of Van, an hour east of Dallas. Last week, Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings suggested changes to the bill. He told the Dallas Morning News the city had been, quote, bamboozled. Flynn says that's not what happened.
We've outlined a program that I believe is one that has been agreed to as we go along. But every time we get what we believe is an agreement, then they want to take another issue out.
Listen in to the full KERA interview with Flynn in this week's Friday Conversation. As legislators tackle pension woes across Texas, the hottest debate in Austin may still be the one surrounding Senate Bill 6. The so-called bathroom bill would make it illegal for people to use restrooms or locker rooms in schools and government buildings that don't match the gender on their birth certificates. Opponents say it's discriminatory. Supporters like Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick make an argument about public safety.
It's about preventing a free pass to sexual predators who are not transgender from being able to walk into any bathroom with any child or any woman at any time.
This got one of our listeners wondering, is there evidence that Senate Bill 6 would keep Texans safe? As part of our statewide Texas Decide series, KERA's Christopher Connolly decided to check it out.
Good morning. The Senate Committee on State Affairs will please come to order, and if the clerk would please call the roll.
Let me take you back to a Senate committee room about a month ago in the heart of the Texas Capitol. Hundreds of people packed in and spent 20 hours testifying for and against Senate Bill 6. But the first to bring up public safety, by no means the last, was the bill's sponsor, Senator Lois Kolkhorst, a Republican from Brenham.
There's been a number of incidences just here in Austin recently. Just a few days ago at the Salvation Army store where a man was arrested for recording a woman changing in a dressing room.
Kolkhorst talked about incidents like that and worse in bathrooms. She says that's the consequence when people are free to use the bathroom based on their gender identity as opposed to the sex on their birth certificate.
While many have made this about a transgender bill, it's more about someone that will use this bill as an excuse to go into the most intimate places we find ourselves in.
The two largest law enforcement groups in Texas say they're not concerned that transgender protections threaten public safety. But proponents like Jonathan Sines say the anecdotal evidence means Texas should block transgender rights. He heads the conservative Christian group Texas Values, which opposes LGBT rights.
We're not going to wait for academia to put a report out when the evidence is already clear and makes common sense to people.
Of course, common sense is in the eye of the beholder. Katie Sprinkle is a lawyer based in Dallas. She's transgender and says proponents of SB 6 are cherry-picking their facts.
Now we're up to 19 states who have statewide protections, and you still have over 200 cities. So common sense would suggest, well, let's look and see what's happening in those states. And they're not doing that.
turns out doing that is actually pretty complicated. Jody Herman has been finding that out. She's a researcher at the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law, which studies LGBT issues.
You have to find the right data to study the issue.
Getting that data means going through troves of police reports culled from jurisdictions before and after transgender protections were enacted. That's what Massachusetts did, and that's where Herman's been focusing her research. It's still ongoing, but she has been able to put together some preliminary findings.
We have found no evidence to support a relationship between public safety incidents in bathrooms with anti-discrimination laws that cover transgender people's ability to use those spaces.
Still, Herman says that doesn't make the crimes SB6 supporters are concerned about any less real.
These incidents have occurred. These incidents are occurring, and public safety is a concern. But the problem is they're linking it to anti-discrimination protections for trans people in a way that I think is completely inappropriate and not supported by any of the evidence.
Research does show that one group faces heightened risk in public restrooms, Herman says. And that's transgender people. In a recent survey of 27,000 transgender adults, 1 in 8 said they'd been harassed, attacked, or sexually assaulted in bathrooms in the previous year. Dallas lawyer Katie Sprinkle says, especially when she was transitioning, using a public restroom was harrowing.
I would run in, use the very first stall, so I'm closest to the door. I would wait in the stall if other people were in the bathroom until they were gone, and then I would quickly leave. I wouldn't wash my hands. I wouldn't comb my hair, check my makeup. I used to carry a bottle of hand sanitizer with me so I didn't have to try to wash my hands.
Sprinkle worries that fears stoked by the SB6 debate are putting transgender people even more at risk whenever they use a public restroom. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Last week marked the 100th anniversary of the day the United States entered World War I. A documentary on the Great War starts tonight on KERA-TV. A third of a million African Americans served during that war in segregated units. A few, though, served next to the French troops against the Germans. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with filmmaker Stephen Ives about what those men went through when they came home.
The experience of these young black men who have suddenly been pulled from their small communities and thrown across the ocean to encounter an entirely new reality where white men treat them with respect and as equals is an earth-shattering experience for them. And I think they come back from the war, many of them with medals on their breasts and wounds, but they come back with a new assertiveness. And of course, that is deeply threatening to white America. That searing experience of seeing the world, seeing another alternate reality, coming back and re-encountering the extraordinary racism in their own country radicalizes a whole generation of African Americans. And I think you can point to that moment as the beginning of a civil rights movement that is going to ultimately lead to the civil rights struggles of the 1960s.
Stephen Ives co-directed The Great War. That's a three-night PBS American Experience series that starts tonight at 8 on KERA-TV. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. This is KERA News.